So our Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of the light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it's gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And whoever is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." This is the word of life. So I have a question for you. Have you ever been knowingly dishonest for personal gain? Is there ever a time when it's okay for us to act dishonestly? I ask that question because this is a very strange parable. I mean, what in the world is Jesus talking about? If you look back through there, there's all kinds of things in there that make you think, what? What? Our church father, Augustine, is said to have remarked, "I can't believe this story came from our Lord's lips." And one of the commentaries that I read about this lesson said, "Preach on something else, or you might end up getting fired like the steward in the parable." I mean, even the author of Luke seems to have some trouble with it because there's all kinds of things at the end, all kinds of sayings that Jesus probably did say, but all put together to either, I don't know if the author of Luke is trying to make it all okay or to make it make sense. But what is Jesus talking about? In this passage, we have a rich man whose lifestyle is made possible by income from his country estate. His property is being tended to by farmers, by tenant farmers. That means these farmers farm the land and they pay rent for it. And they buy what's needed from the company store, from the owner. And then whatever's left over from the high rents, they use to farm the land. And the harvest is never enough. They have to pay the landowner, buy what they need for farming, and also try to provide for their families with whatever's left over. So the way the system works, those tenant farmers would often quickly fall into debt. So they worked harder. They worked harder to produce bigger harvests and pay bigger rents to the landowner. and try to pay what couldn't be paid. So the owner of this land was lucky, because he was rich enough that he could hire a manager so that he didn't even have to deal with the people that he was exploiting in this unjust system. But there were rumors going around about this manager that he had hired. Rumors that this manager was squandering the landowner's property, his resources. So the landowner sends word to the steward that he's going to be fired. Upon hearing this news, the steward recognizes he has some choices to make. He can't do hard labor. He doesn't want to beg. So he gets busy. He gets very shrewd. Perhaps even dishonest. Without telling these tenant farmers that he's going to be fired, he reduces their debts without the landowner's knowledge or permission. Now, some biblical scholars say that this manager was only reducing the part that would have been his commission. But we don't know that. The parable doesn't tell us that. The farmers don't know this either. All they know is that this manager is telling them that their debts to the landowner have been reduced, that they have been forgiven. How do you think that makes these farmers feel? Yeah, they're going to be happy. I mean, how would you feel if your car loan or your mortgage or your credit card debt was forgiven? Yeah? That would be good news, wouldn't it? So even though he had absolutely nothing to do with this, the landowner suddenly becomes a hero, right? He becomes a hero, and this manager is now the beloved messenger of really great news. News of forgiveness. But without any awareness of what's been going on, the landowner comes to collect his money and to give his manager the boot. What kind of welcome do you think he gets from these farmers? He gets a hero's welcome. And he's like, yeah, this is cool. It's all fun and games, though, until he figures out exactly what went on. Now, he has some choices to make. Does he tell these happy, rejoicing farmers that this has all been a terrible mistake and fire that manager for squandering his property? Because this isn't just about rumors anymore. He has hard evidence that this manager has been dishonest. Or does he suck up his losses, pat the manager on the back, and receive the genuine gratitude of this forgiven and rejoicing community? We're told that the landowner commends the manager for acting shrewdly. Jesus told a lot of parables. He told parables because somewhere within that story is a truth that he wanted his listeners to hear and to understand. And there are several different types of parables. Probably the most common parable that Jesus told was the go and do likewise parable. Like the Good Samaritan, where at the end he says, yes, this is being a good neighbor. Go and do likewise. This one is a how much more type of parable. If a dishonest manager can ensure his future with an absent landowner by forgiving debts he has no business, literally, forgiving, how much more can we ensure our futures with our loving and gracious God by being generous and compassionate and forgiving others? Each day of our lives, You and I have choices to make. In this parable, the dishonest steward makes the choice to forgive. Yes, he forgives with selfish motives for personal gain. Yet, he does forgive. And I would like to think that those acts of forgiveness that this manager did really truly changed him. No matter what the intent or motivation was, I believe that those acts of forgiveness changed him in good ways, in godly ways, because forgiveness is of God. Forgiveness really does create a relationship where there was none or where there was one that was broken. Those happy farmers indeed are going to welcome him into their homes. And that welcome is going to change him. Every day we have opportunities to be gracious and loving and forgiving, or not. In sometimes big things, and often little things. Now, I'm not saying forgiveness is easy, because it's not. I know that. It's not easy. As a matter of fact, sometimes it feels downright impossible. It's a risky business. It makes us vulnerable, again, doesn't it? And that doesn't feel good. Sometimes we don't want to forgive, because there's times when we are justified in our anger. And then there's those times when getting out of a relationship is for our best interest. Forgiveness isn't always what you did is okay and now we're all good. It's a process. It's a process of letting go. It's a process of letting go and giving to God. Because to forgive is really to give for something more. Maybe to restore a relationship. Perhaps to give us a sense of peace, to release bitterness, to let go of anger. And maybe it's to feel hope and a sense of promise for the future. Even the smallest act of forgiveness is huge. It's huge. It's huge because it draws us closer to God. And this drawing near to God changes us. Jesus says, "Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much." Well, there's much about this parable that still baffles me and that we didn't really get a chance to talk about this morning. That will have to be for next time. I do believe that the heart of this parable, this story, is that being faithful means not only knowing that we are forgiven, but also being forgiving. Because in God's economy, people always matter more than profits. Serving God means that loving people is always the bottom line, no matter what. And that's not always easy. Sometimes we're called to do and asked to do things we'd rather not. But forgiveness is good. Forgiveness is good because it is of God. And this is indeed reason to rejoice and give thanks because we are loved and forgiven children of God. Amen.